This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's watch another clip. This is Judge Beverly Canoe and her reaction after they get back from the recess. Take note of the candor in her voice. Take note of her hands. Take note of her body language. Because this, I was kind of taken aback at how shaken she appears today to be. Let's take a look.
Commonwealth just provided the court with information that causes me grave concern. The implications of that information may have profound effects on this defense and defense counsel. So for that reason, I'm going to suspend today so that when we meet again to address these issues, all affected will be appropriately prepared. So I'll see you a week from today at 11 o'clock in the morning. You can tell me now if that is impossible for you. And where the, Mr. Brennan, where the federal authorities have been kind enough in the past to allow me to have copies of everything, would you be kind enough to call over there or check with whomever you were dealing with to see if I can in fact get a copy of everything that you just read?
I can, and there's a brief chronology I think Your Honor should be aware of. If I could add that right now, it would take me less than a minute. The chronology is December 4th, we sent another TUI request, 2024. January 6th, we filed our notice of intention to exclude ARCA experts. January 30th, 2025, the United States Attorney's Office sent a response to both ours and the defense requests. Without any prompting, on February 6th, 2025, the defense and the prosecution received an email from the U.S. Attorney's Office saying that the contract had ended with the ARCA experts and that if either party want to engage, the original materials are still protected. This was a change in position about whether a party could engage. On February 11th, we filed the motion to exclude. February 13th, the defense provided us the emails that I read. February 13th, 2025, I think I said the federal government. It was the defense. February 13th, 2025, they sent us the emails and the direct examination outline. We reached out to the federal government again because I was curious about the change in position on February 6th, that the contract has ended, but that parties could contact ARCA. Obviously, the Commonwealth is in no position to contact ARCA because that would naturally preclude the defense from retaining them. So we've refrained and we will not reach out to them.
All right. So the information that was provided to you, not from the federal government, I'd like a copy of before you leave the courthouse today.
Yes, Your Honor.
So that's Judge Beverly getting all that information and then the prosecution giving their chronology of how things went down. I have some questions, but what's your reaction to that and the timeline and Judge Beverly's physical and emotional reaction to this?
Yeah, the way that the judge is presenting, I mean, she's making these ominous statements and kind of in a very concerned tone. It sounds like this isn't just some like procedural error or something that can be ironed out quickly and easily. She's actually stopping the hearing and then reconvening it later so everyone is prepared to address what she's about to drop on them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the grave concerns, the going into how this could affect the defense in many, many ways. I'm just paraphrasing, but it didn't sound good. Could this all be a mistake on the part of the defense? Could this all just be an accident? You know, the attorneys, they're very busy with what they're doing. This seems like it should be more of a, you know, something behind the scenes, something you have some of your assistants doing and such, some people in the office, whoever that may be, to file some of this stuff, to let the court know that you're retaining these folks. Could this be just a really big mess up that, oh my gosh, looks horrible and is really not necessarily nefarious?
It absolutely could be. You know, when there's an expert in a case, whether they are impartial or assigned to one side or the other, that doesn't preclude either side from contacting that expert, from asking them questions, from discussing their potential analysis and testimony. And it seems by and large that that's what was going on. Now, was there some sort of steering on behalf of the defense to get an opinion that's favorable from that expert? Perhaps. And that's entitled, the government's entitled to know that and to cross-examine on it at trial. But is this going to blow up the entire defense and the entire second trial? I don't think so.
I think that's the question everybody has about this, is what kind of impact is this going to have? Is this, what's going to happen here? I mean, I know I've heard many different theories of this could end up getting her attorneys dismissed and they're going to have to, you know, kind of start from square one. It may just get like Jackson kicked off. I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on where this could go based on the reaction you saw from Judge Bev?
You know, clearly the judge is affected by it, thinks it's a big deal. Could it result in the defense attorneys being eliminated from the case? I think that would be unlikely. If there was some ethical violation, that can be pursued through other avenues outside of this criminal trial. Mm-hmm. And to prohibit a defendant's choice of attorney in a case just based on, you know, some dealings that the court found shady would be very unusual.
Well, I mean, we saw it over in Delphi where there was the accusation. I mean, and it turned out that it was completely out of the control of the actual attorneys when some evidence had leaked out and they were kicked off the case. Granted, that's a very odd case and very odd things happen there. That's not certainly the bar of the norm to put anything against, but it does happen sometimes, does it not?
No, it does. But I think it's more likely that what's going to happen at trial is these experts' credibility is going to be undermined by the government. They're going to bring out all of these sort of backroom discussions that happen to be in writing. And that's going to look pretty bad for the defense. Is it going to sway the entire trial one way or the other? I'm just not convinced of that.
Are they going to be allowed to use information from ARCA into the trial itself, or could that be completely eliminated here by Judge Beverly before we get to trial?
It's interesting. I heard the prosecutor saying that he is not necessarily requesting that the experts be precluded, that they not be allowed to testify. And perhaps that's a strategic move. Perhaps the prosecutor is saying, hey, I've got all this ammo on these, what he thinks are completely biased hack experts. Yeah. And I'm going to show the jury just what the defense is doing.
Basically bring them in and then I can slaughter them over here because you're just teeing it up. But if you don't bring them in, it doesn't really put the ball to be teed up to go after them if there's no one to go after.
Exactly right. There are so many cases, I've handled many, where there are shady issues on behalf of the government or on behalf of somebody else. And sometimes the government just doesn't call that shady witness. Sometimes the defense does the same thing. And the jury never hears about these things that we're discussing today that paint one side in a particular bad light.
How important is the ARCA defense and what they've brought to the table for Karen Reed?
You know, it's central in the sense that it goes to potential cause of death. My understanding is the experts essentially opine that that the damage was not consistent with, does not match being hit by an SUV. Mm-hmm. And so that's really darn important if Karen Reed is saying, hey, I didn't hit John O'Keefe and kill him.
Could they not just bring in another defense, expert witness that can come to the same conclusion, just not ARCA, just somebody else?
You know, they can, but as you mentioned at the beginning of this, there are some chess moves that could be played at that juncture. Mm. If defense gets a second reconstructionist, then the prosecution would be more inclined to call ARCA as a government witness and just show, hey, the defense tried to steer this opinion in their way. They got found out. They got caught. And then they just sort of got a second person. And who's to say they're not, you know, paying and steering the second person in mm-hmm. the same fashion?
Well, and it would be knowledge that they are, in fact, paying the second person. Now, that second person should not be giving an expert opinion that just goes in their favor because they're getting a paycheck. So you'd have to get somebody who's going to do it. But yes, that would look really shady either way. It's a big chess move here. what is the safe play? Just completely eliminating ARCA and their findings, and or just those type of findings in general, regardless of who they came from? Don't bring them up in the case? Is it too much of a red herring now to bring in?
Gosh, you know, I think if I'm the government, I kind of want them in there just to show, hey, here's the defense's central assertion, and here's how they have fabricated it and contrived it in a way to try to not only dupe the government, but dupe you, the jury.
Well, obviously, the government and the prosecution wants them to come on in, but is that a wise move for the defense at this point?
You know, with every witness, there are good facts and bad facts. Yeah. And that's just kind of the nature of the game. And so the defense is going to have to weigh the pros and cons of that. It's a bit of a bad look, but it also is an opinion that is central to the defense. And so does that, on the balance, suggest the defense should call him, perhaps?
Oh, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation right now. And what is the least of the damage that they're going to have to try and figure out here?
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists, all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.